Okay, before we begin, I just should say the farewells, because often at the end of Shiur we are kind of running out to make like this 8:15 shuttle or something like that. But I want to thank all of you for a productive semester. I actually feel like I'm really gaining from this experience. I mentioned to you, those of you who were in the Shiur last semester, this is like my first experience teaching up here, or down here, in Stern College. It's my first experience teaching Gemara to women. I found all of you to be very motivated, very sincere. I'm actually working hard to prepare these shiurim because I know that if I wouldn't be prepared, you would catch me. And that's a good thing. So I want to thank all of you for that. I can tell you that I will, B'li Neder, have review questions tomorrow at some point. Please email me, so I'll send you some review questions and then keep on updating them over the week. The final will be on the 14th. Try to chazer, go through the Gemara, be the same type of thing as last time. In addition to the questions that you would have seen already, I'll also give you a few lines in the Gemara, in Rishonim, in my mind, whatever, to kind of identify and figure it out. If you're not a mind reader, you'll fail, but these things happen. I wouldn't worry too much about failing. I think all of you are, Baruch Hashem, learning well, you're doing well, so we should continue studying Torah. Sounds like a plan? Excellent. Okay, let's go weiter. The Gemara that we focused on last time dealt with the question of Nechal al Yedei Hadchak. No? And effectively, this is the Sugya as understood by the Ritva and understood by all the Chachmei Sfarad, that both in the case of Beitza and in the case of Dag Maliach, there's one sugya, there's one machlokus, and that machlokus relates to something that is necha with difficulty. Do we treat it like it is necha k'mo shehu chai, and therefore not subject to the rules of Bishul Akum? Now, Judaism is a beautiful religion, and it sometimes gets complicated by some of the Rishonim. In this case, the Ritva quotes from the Gaonim, from Reb Haigon, that when we paskin like Reb Yochanan, that it's usher, only Beitza is usher, only Beitza Tzluya is usher, but by Dag Maliach, we paskin that's going to be mutter. In other words, Dag Maliach, we treat like it's Nechal Kamosha Huchai and mutter, but Beitza Tzluya, we treat that it is usher. And the question is, what is the reason to distinguish between Dag Maliach, that is mutter, and Beitza, that is usher? Does anyone want to take a stab at this?
I think I said something yesterday.
What?
That maybe you could say that Dag Maliach, there's more of a chance of, like, at least if you go according to Rashi, the issue is with also service, like, there's more of a chance of going to put something.
And so again, we paskin that dagma, the rift paskins that dagma liach is going to be mutter and beitza tzluya is going to be usher. Why would that be, Mindy?
This is like not a super intelligent answer, but there's
a. I mean, that's for me to judge.
Okay, yeah. I've prejudged it. There's a brisa right after that says that beitza tzluya is usher, but didn't say dagma liach.
Okay, right. So in other words, that's like a very localized textual answer that we see that Beitz is going to be usher in the Braisa. So that certainly could be. Elisheva.
Well, if it's referring to like small salted fish, we said
so what we could say is that we already had Dag Maliach on Amud Aleph or whatever, right? That's what you're suggesting? So that could be why it is why it is mutter. So there is a line in the. So first of all, the Taz writes. Oh, I'm sorry, Rachel, you had a comment.
I was going to suggest maybe it's differing levels of hadchak.
Different levels of
hadchak.
Nachon. So that is what the Taz says. The Taz says that there's nechal al yedei hadchak, and there's nechal al yedei dochek gadol. Right? The Taz says that, like, if you read Shulchan Aruch, there are a few different se'ifim of Nechal Ayadei Hadchak. We have Se'if Yud Beis that deals with Dagim Ketanim, and then later on we have Beitza and Tamarim Hamarim. By Dagim Ketanim, there are two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. By Beitza and by Tamarim Hamarim, so everyone says that's going to be Aser. What's the difference? So the answer might be, says the Taz, that Dagim Ketanim is a little bit of Dachak. But Tamarim Hamarim and Beitza, that's really super duper Dachak. It really tastes very bad when it is raw. It's edible, but it tastes pretty bad. Now, the problem with this answer of the Taz is that it sort of doesn't... There's no clear hagdara, no? Because they're saying, oh, if it's really dchak, then it's aser. If it's a little bit of dchak, it's going to be mutter. Like, or if it's not dchak, some say it's mutter. It's a hard type of answer, nachon? It doesn't fully... it really doesn't fully solve the problem. But if you read the Ritva carefully, so the Ritva says a line over here. I could read the Ritva for you, and you'll have to trust that I'm not inserting words where they don't belong. But the Ritva writes, quoting this riff, "Dilo ifsika hilchasa kreb yochanan elale inyan beitza." Beitza is going to be usher, but dag maliach, the halach is like chizki and bar kapar, that it's mutter. V'yesh lomar, de efshar lomar, de afilu chachi beitza chamuritve, shekoma seha biyad goy. The ilu dag maliach kvar naase ba melicha beheter shehechshiro la ochlo kemosho meluach al yedei hadocha miha. Right, what's he saying? I think what he's saying is that Beitza, the guy did everything. The guy cooked it and it went like from 0 to 60. Right, the guy did the complete maisa of bishul, but when it comes to Dag Maliach, there are two stages in the process. Right? That's speaking Lashon Canadian, right? Americans say process. But there are two stages, right? Stage one is salting. Stage two is cooking it after. And Zok the Ritva, afilo milcho goy, kevan de milchoso ein bo mishom bishul bishulo beheterhu, utchilaso biyag yisrael kamacho ben jusay dummy. Right? In other words, what he's saying is Hazoy, that since there are two stages in the process, so if stage one, if the Malicha was done Al Yibay Yisrael, so of course we understand why it's mutter, because it wasn't in Gansen done by the guy. But even if Malicha, even if salting the fish was done Al Yibay Goy, still it's going to be mutter, because Goy one didn't answer it. Because we paskin that there's no din of bishul akum al yidei malicha, that maliach is nakiro seyach with respect to bishul akum, and then from the perspective of goy too, this item was somewhat edible. So because the entire thing was not done in one fell swoop, therefore it is going to be mutter. That's the mahalach of the Ritva. Now, what's interesting is that in Shulchan Aruch, the Bach quotes the same idea. He doesn't quote from the Ritva, but the same idea is mentioned by the Bach, and that, I think, is another approach why Dag Maliach is going to be Mutter, where Beitza Tzluya is going to be Aser. So far, so good? Beseder. Let's go on in the Gemara. Right, last time we also gave like a wild explanation for giving this guy the vinegar. I don't want to review it because we had too much of an exciting fight last time trying to understand pshat in it, so I'm assuming we all got it. Tamar?
Can I just clarify then the Ritva on the two stages of the Beitza? If we're saying that the first part of Maliach is not Jerusalem, then wouldn't it...
So the point is that Goy 2, there's less of a reason why it should be Usher, because we could argue that Goy 2 is only doing half of cooking.
Right, but
Even though Goy wanted the first stage, but the first stage isn't the stage that makes it usher. So therefore, right, I think that's what the... Okay, it could be... Well, again, it's entirely possible that stage one is Ayudei, a Jew. But the Ritva argues, even if stage one was done Ayudei Goy, it's still going to be Mutter.
Even if stage one and stage two were done Ayudei Goy.
Correct. It's still going to be Mutter because the Goy... We're focused on the cooking. Stage one can't make it usser because we pass in that that salting doesn't make it usser. So it can only become usser from stage two. But since stage two is not complete cooking, it's going to be mutter.
What if it's done by the same person?
Can you speak louder?
What if the guy does one person?
So I think it still is going to be okay because it's done in two stages. This is sort of, I was always bothered by this kasha. Like next year, apparently we're laying Shabbos. That was like some vote. So let's say you do Borer in two stages. Now let's say you have all the cutlery mixed together and then you throw it out on the table and then you separate it, right? If one person does it. The Gemara speaks about Borer that you do something called Shadu Kamayhu with two different people, right? If one person would do it, what would be the halacha? I've been bothered by this since I was a kid. But one could argue that this din is that it's going to still be mutter. Because ultimately, the bishul that I'm doing is not bishul from zero. You're starting the bishul at 20. And therefore, it's not going to be usher. Tehillah Berger.
Why isn't that the biggest clue for bishul offering in general? Have two guy in, cook something. Have one cook it,
kemacho ben drusai. Whoa, 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 slowly. If one guy cooks a kemacho ben drusai, it's entirely possible the entire thing became usser to begin with. Right? That was the machlokas of Yishoinim that we had last time.
But we could just pause in, in general, we're clueless here.
And that's what the Rush says over here. So it's not so, like, modern Orthodox. Okay. I know, my wife uses the term differently than I do. I understand.
The Rush and the Ron.
Right, correct.
Then we can have just a second guy come.
That is probably correct. I mean, the Avni Nezer in his Tshuvas and Simon Sadi Tess and Kuf, which I wanted to assign to you, but the base medrash doesn't have a copy. So the Avni Nezer suggests an idea that maybe you could rectify all Bishol Akum by a Dover Lach by having a Jew reheat it. Let's say a guy comes into your house and cooks chicken soup for you. No? Treif! Usser! Okay. Well, we know that by Dover Lach, we pass in Yesh Bishol Achar Bishol, no? Right? That's why I can't, like, put chicken soup on the Blech on Shabbos, because that would be Bishol, right? Because it's a Dover Lach. It's a liquid. Well, says the Avni Nezer, why can't I rectify Bishol Akum that way? It's an ingenious idea. But the Pashtus is Poskim, don't rely on that. Whatever, we wouldn't advise this to someone. I'll say it like this. If someone actually thought of a chap, that's different.
It's a really quick side question about the real Afghanistan.
Yes.
It's a little, okay, it's not topic. But once you're mentioning it.
I take random questions.
What's the deal with tea essence then?
The deal with tea essence?
Right, like
the idea of tea essence is that it's already cooked, and since many we've shown them hold that even by a Dover Lach, Yisum ain't Bishol Achar Bishol, so you're kind of cutting your losses.
Wait, but didn't we just say Yisum?
Again, it's a machlokes is 3-on-3. Three Rishonim assume it's Aser, three Rishonim assume it's Mutter, so we're kind of cutting our losses. So, like, if I put, remember, I'm doing it in a cliché-ny anyway.
Right? Doing it in a
cliché-ny,
meaning the hot water
part
of
cliché. What? Also, you're putting the cold, isn't there a thing about, like, you put the cold, you put the hot water in, and then you put the cold.
You're supposed to put the tea essence in first, the Mishnah Berurah says.
You
put the tea essence in first because there is a sheet of the Yireyim who's worried about Sovei Abba Ochlem. Right? The Shulchan Aruch passes in Sovei Abba Ochlem. That's a Gemara Kuf Lamed Tes.
If I just have tea bags, then I'm clearly not worrying about it.
Yeah, we again, my understanding of making tea on Shabbos, just a regal achas, is like this. That since tea in America was all dried, the way they make tea, basically, is they take these massive tea leaves and they float them down the river. And that way they, like, spread them out. Right? But when they're going down the river, they spread out. Because after the tea expanded because they floated it down the river, they dry the tea. And the way they dry the tea leaves is they put it on open fire and they dry it. And then they grind it up into small little pieces. Many Rishonim hold that drying something on an open fire is dino kibishul anyway. So one could argue that the tea leaves were already cooked once. At least it was tzli. So now I'm dealing with the shayla of bishul achar tzli, which is my focus between the Urayim and the Ravya. So then what I could do is I thought that even those who are machmir, that there is bishul in the kli shlishi, but I thought for sure we would not be machmir on bishul in the kli shlishi with a tea bag that was already cooked once. That was, Rav Soloveitchik was makel that tea is mutter even in a kli shlishi, that tea is not, right, it's not kali habishul because it's really tavlin. But even if you want to be machmir, like yeshivasher or something, still it should for sure be mutter in a kli shlishi. You don't have to worry about this Chazon Ish who says that there's no difference in halacha between kli shene and kli shlishi, because the majority of poskim say that when you have another sniff lahakel, you could, right? That was like a brief thing about making tea on Shabbos. Can we learn Torah? Okay, weiter. Tana Rabbanan, Hobbit Megaland. Kafrisin. What are kafrisin? What? Capers. Okay, caper bushes. Caper bushes are awesome. It's called slaf. It's a sugya in brachos on lamed ches or something. Basically, there are psukim in Koheles about capers. No, v'safer ha'avi yona. Right. What's an avi yona? Like the outer area of the caper bush. There's the there's the caper berry, then there's like a coating on the berry, etc. So kafrisin is the like peel of the caper plant. You can buy capers. When we did brachos in my shiur, so I sent the guys to buy capers. You can buy capers in Fairway, or probably in other stores. They're actually nice and salty. They taste pretty good. What bracha are capers?
Machlokas.
Good answer.
That's cheap, right? No. It's probably a bari priha eitz, the caper plant itself. The question is the kafrisin, the peel of the caper thing. Right? When we get capers in the jar, they are the actual berry, right? Fine, so the kafrisin and the kaplutos. What are kaplutos? Leeks, good. And hamaltia. What's hamaltia? The guy's going to describe it later, but what does it say later? Good. V'hachamin. What's chamin? Hot water. Right? V'hachamin. V'hakloyos shalahen. And kloyos are cooked dried grains. So these things are mutter. Why are they mutter? What does Rashi say?
Or they're not changed by...
So Rashi writes that chamin, hot water, is mutter because it is ein mishtana mibriyasan ayidei ha'ar. Now that is a chiddush on two levels. Level one is that we had a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ran way back at the top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. Right? The Rambam assumed that la halacha we deny the category of mishtana ayidei ha'ar. It doesn't exist la halacha. The Ran says it exists la halacha. Says the first shach in Hilchos Bishul Akum that it's not only the Ran, it's also Rashi. But the shach doesn't tell me where the Rashi is. Now you know. Right? Because Rashi over here is saying that it has to be mishtana mibriyaso ayidei ha'ar to be usher for Bishul Akum. Now, Klayos, according to Rashi, is also not nishtana. That was earlier in the Gemara. Here's the problem, ladies. Isn't there a better reason why hot water isn't subject to Bishul Akum? It's Necha Kamo Shulchai. It's pretty obvious, right? Did anyone ever drink cold water? New York City water, copepods, okay. That's one suggestion. Totally wrong, but okay. One suggestion. Why is hot water? So it happens like this. The Shar HaTziyun, right? The Chafetz Chaim in the Ban of Mishnah Berurah, at the beginning of Shin Yod Ches, Ois Vav, in the Shar HaTziyun. I don't remember if it's Osei or Osvav. I'm but I'm forgetting. So the Sharet Siyun at the beginning of Shin Yud Ches asks a question. The Rambam writes that you only violate Bishul B'Shabbos for something that is not Ne'echal K'moshe Hu Chai. If it's Ne'echal K'moshe Hu Chai, so there is no Bishul B'Shabbos, Min HaTorah. Azoy Shteitin Rambam. Brek the Sharet Siyun, what the heck? You're going to tell me that there is no Bishul Min HaTorah on water? That just got rid of like an entire perek, like two blot of Gemara. Like we talk about Bishul on water like all the time. Right? Isn't that like the paradigmatic case of Bishul? So the Sharet Siyun asks the question like, what are you talking about? So the Sharet Siyun doesn't really answer this kasha. However, many of the poskim and the svarim later answer and they say azoi. It could be that cold water and hot water are viewed in halacha as being two different chefzos. For example, when the Rambam talks about hot water, the Rambam, in Bishul B'Shabbos at least, speaks of the shear of hot water by Bishul as being kedei lirchotz bo gufo. For the Rambam, hot water is used primarily for bathing. It's not used primarily for drinking. Now, obviously, some people drink hot water. But drinking hot water is viewed as different than drinking cold water. We all know, by the way, that the water fundamentally changes when you cook it. And even if you cool the water down after, it has a slightly different taste once it's been cooked. Is that correct? Okay, I have one person who agrees with me. Good. Right, thank you, Tamar. I appreciate that. What? It
tastes worse.
It might taste worse. It might taste better. I'm not getting involved in whether it tastes better or worse. But I think the raya that we're getting at is that we don't view cold water and hot water as the same chefza. We view hot water as a different chefza than cold water. Therefore, even though I can drink cold water, but it's not considered nechal kamoshe hu chai, because if I want to do hot water type stuff with it, it's viewed as like a totally different thing. Now, I'm not exactly sure the parameters of this and why I would say this, but it seems very striking that Rashi does not say that it's Nechal Kamoshe Hu Chai. Now, one could argue that Rashi is only saying this because he wants to teach me that we accept the rule of Lo Nishtana Mibriyasa, no? But if that would be the case, so then Rashi only has to say it by Klayos. Why does Rashi say it by Chamin also? Right, if Rashi wants to tell me that we accept the rule of Nishtana Mibriyasa, or not Nishtana Mibriyasa, as the case is, so then what I should say that by Klayos. Why does Rashi have to say it by Chamin? Apparently, you get the impression that for Rashi, right, Chamin is not considered Nechal Kamoshu Chai. Now, Klayos, you get the impression from Rashi that's also not considered Nechal Kamoshu Chai. We spoke about this in passing once upon a time, that you can eat pure grains, but that doesn't have a Shem Achila in Halacha. It's called Koseis Eshachita, no? Koseis esachita, you don't really eat raw grains. You chew on them, they get stuck between your teeth, whatever. You chew on them, you like, but it's not real achila. In the sense of, achila might mean in halacha of Bishul Akum, something that fills you up. Something that you just chew on because you're bored. Or something that you eat just to kind of add a little bit of flavor into your mouth. That might not be achila for purposes of Bishul Akum, and that might be the answer of Klayos. But Bekitzer, Rashi does not say that Chamin and Klayos is Nechal Kemoshu Chai. Now the Rambam gives a different reason than Rashi. The Rambam writes that Klayos, at least, the reason why it's mutter for the Rambam is because Ein Adam Mazmin Es Chaveiro Alav, no? You're never going to invite your friend over to say, hey, Shmendrik, come over and, you probably don't have any friends named Shmendrick, but hey Shmendrick, come over and let's have some Kleios. Because Kleios is basically like a lollipop, right? And you're not going to invite people to your house. You'll invite someone to have a main course. You're not going to invite someone over to eat candy. What? So for the Rambam, Ola al Shulchan Malachim means something that you're mazmin chavero olav. In other words, the Rambam is defining it in the sense of something that's a real food. Now, Reb Usher Weiss suggests, and we'll talk about this more in 2 minutes, that this might be the kula for potato chips. Reb Usher Weiss feels that the real din of Bishul Akum is only something that you're going to invite somebody for. No one invites their friend to eat potato chips after you are 5 years old. Until 5, maybe 7, whatever it is, right? Have to ask my son. But l'cha'ora, you reach a certain point that you just don't invite people to eat potato chips or candy, right? Eino demazmin es chaviro olav. Sure. So for dessert, I think is cake. You're not going to invite people to, like, once you're out of Shabbos party stage of life, you don't invite people to eat candy.
The point is that, like, there were motions of, like, what works for Kamar Medina, kind of like a, it's not just like, oh, what you invite people over, but, like, what's that considered a kosher thing to give you, I guess?
I think so. I mean, but it's the same type of idea. Absolutely. Hi, Mindy.
There are certain, like, fancy potato chips that you'll see, like, at a dinner. Like,
terra chips.
Yeah, terra chips. Like, at a nice dinner, they'll have terra chips.
Yeah. Right, so that was our question when we spoke about the potato chips thing the first time. Did we discuss it?
Yeah, we did.
Okay,
we
fine.
That's
so we will come back to the potato chips in a minute. Zot v'gemar v'ayter, shemen. First wide line, shemen. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi u'beistino nimnu olav v'hitiruhu. They said that shemen is not usur. Tanya, hi amatzwaya, hi pashaoya, hi shiasa, my shiasa, Rabbi Barbachon, Rabbi Yochanan, Abonchan, denafekai uvda, mimetzaim. Uvda in this case probably means that they use shiasa as some sort of refuah. That's what the Tosis Chachme Anglia says. I think Dr. Salvechik says the Tosis Chachme Anglia is the most useless book ever published. Right? Dr. Salvechik has like this shita that like no one in England ever knew how to learn. whatever. Maybe I shouldn't say that in public. But he says, yeah, look at the Tosis Chachme Anglia. There's like nothing there. That's his idea. He's like, they published it one time in the 70s. They'll never publish it again because there's nothing there. That's the way he says it. So, basically in the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia, obviously, it says, Hai Uvda means the refuah. They're using Shia, so it's like a type of refuah. Rabbi Bechana says it's 60 years that came out of Mitzrayim. They're not disagreeing. Mar B'Shanei, basically, Rabbi Bechana is 20 years after Rabbi Barbachana, whatever it is, fine. Zot v'Gemara. The way they do it is Maisi Bizr de Karpisa, Bizr de Kitna, Bizr de Shavlilta. Basically, they take a seed of karpas, a seed of like, what's karpas? Like celery, and the seed of kitna is like some sort of cotton, and the seed of shavlilta, which is fenugreek, whatever that is, and they soak it together in warm water, and they leave it until it grows, and then they take new flower pots, and they fill up with water, and they soak some dirt in it, and they leave it there, and they bring it into a bathhouse, and then when they come out, it's all growing and sprouting. And the Gemara says that the way they do this is either Ayyadei Kishuf, or the way they do this is that they don't really do it, the whole thing is a lie. Right? Those are the two approaches in the Gemara. Either Milan...
What?
What? Basically, what they do is it's either a lie or they did it through some sort of magic, through some sort of kishuf. Basically, what they do is they take these beans and they mix the beans with a little bit of celery and with a little bit of cotton and with a little bit of what's it called, fenugreek. And they soak it in warm water, and then they put it in the flower pot, and it begins to grow after they put it in the bathhouse, and it begins to grow. By the time you get out of the bathhouse, it's already going to be growing. Now, usually, as a kid, we used to have these things called chia pets, that, like, you could... Right? It's like they grow super fast. Like I always wanted to have chia beard as a kid. That like, you know, that the beard just begins to grow very quickly. Fine, you probably never had these desires in life. What can we do? But the fact is, it's like a super fast chia pet. I think that's what's going on over here. Like, begins to grow very quickly. You're in the bathhouse and suddenly it grows. Zuckley, come on, that can't really happen. Either it's magic or it's a lie, and the whole thing is make-believe.
Why do they care of, like, how they got it?
So I think the Maharal writes in one of his essays that the Gemara says this just to prove that Chachmei HaTorah know everything. It doesn't tell me. What? Well, it proves that they know stuff that normal people. Stuff that normal people would say, like, what? what are you telling? What? Yeah, you're like, what's going on here? Okay, so that's the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Kusban of Goyim. Kusban is leftover dates. If you make beer, apparently there's like leftover date residue. So if you heat up kusban in a big pot, it's usser. In a small pot, it's mutter. The definition of a big pot is a pot that they could pile pieces of a bird into. Because there's always a concern that some guy is going to come and cut up some bird and put it in the pot and trafe up your date residue. Okay. And the Gemara then discusses, right, whether nice and time of gum is us or mutter. We had this beforehand. Viter in the Gemara. Amar Rav Sheshes. You have it? You see there's like a little half moon with a star? So it's like four words after that. It's probably 12, 14 lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Sheshes. Hai mishcha shlika da armai is usar. Rav Sheshes says that cooked oil of the goyim is usser. There are two different types of oil. There is cold pressed oil, and then there is cooked oil. No? Well, years ago, my wife used to be the science editor for Bina Bunch magazine. Any of you know what Bina Bunch magazine is? No, the kids edition is called Bina Bunch. So my wife was the Choshev science editor of Bina Bunch, and then they asked her once to write an article about olive oil, and she said, I can only write an article about olive oil if you let me use the word virgin. If you don't let me use the word virgin in Bina Bunch, so then I can't write the article. So they said, maybe we'll think of a different topic. So, they have standards. Okay, weiter. So, virgin olive oil, the pshat in virgin is that it's cold pressed, I believe. Right? Or virgin olive oil, they don't like cook the olives. The lousier types of olive oil, they heat up the olives in order to extract the juice from the olive. Nachon? So, Zot the Gemara. Rav Sheshes tells me that Mishcha Shlika D'Armai is usser. That when the guy cooks the oil, it's going to be usser. So Rav Safra says, "L'may nechushla imishum iaruvi misusari." If the pshat is that they're going to mix anything into it, they'll take like a trafe ingredient and mix it into the olive oil. Misusari, it's going to go bad. Olive oil is a very sensitive ingredient. No, anything else that gets mixed into the olive oil, like totally messes it up. So they're never going to mix, let's say, a piece of meat in the olive oil because misusari, it's going to go bad. If it's bishul akum, oil is edible rua.
Wait, is oil really? Wait, but
necha. So, speak to me.
It's really like
necha idei adchak. Is oil necha idei adchak? So, if you try to drink oil straight up, the Gemara tells me in Brachas, it's azuki mazik, no? The Gemara Brachas says, if I drink oil, apparently my father got one of his sisters to drink oil when he was like 11 years old. My Aunt Edna like drank some olive oil because my father dared her or something. And then she got really sick and she had to go to the doctor. And she still tells the story about how my father tried to kill her. It's like this, whatever, it's like a family tradition. You ever heard this one, Tehillah?
From you.
So, the Gemara says that oil is nechal kemo shulchai. The kasha is, no, it's not. It'll make you sick. So it's nechal de'adchak at best. The answer is, says the Magen Avraham, that no, oil is nechal kemo shulchai with the taruvis. If you put oil, let's say, on a salad, straight oil, right, you'll eat it, correct? Don't we do this all the time? We add a little bit of olive oil to other stuff, and that is considered nechal al, nechal kemo shulchai, when you eat it with something else. It doesn't have to be straight up. This is a Magen Avraham and Simen Reish Gimel, Sif Katin Dalet. The Magen Avraham says that the definition of nechal kemo shulchai, he proves in this Gemara of Shemen, that nechal kemo shulchai means even with something else. Now, the Gilyan Maharsha. The Gilyan Maharsha is Reb Shlomo Le Eger. Now he's a son of Reb Akiva Eger. Hi, Michal.
Would you apply that to Olal Shulchan Malachim?
So if something is only Olal al Shulchan Malachim B'taruvis,
right,
so that would be Terra Chips.
Yeah, like right.
Right? So that would be Terachip. So the OU in their tshuvas about Bishul Akum splits between these. Even though Nechal Kemo Shulchai, they say, is Al Yedei Taruvis, it's going to be okay, but Ola Al Shulcha Malachim, right? Some of the poskim say that sugar is not subject to Bishul Akum because sugar is not Ola Al Shulcha Malachim. Now that's a little bit nuts. Huh? No, sugar might not be nechal. Well, there are different types of sugar. There's cane sugar, and there is beet sugar. No.
But it's on
like
anything
sugar,
else.
Like on a like gummy bear or whatever.
Yeah,
like
everyone
olive
like,
oil in a salad.
Everyone just like, sets up the sugar, and then I mean kids,
right?
Or the sugar packet.
I mean, well,
so people do eat plain sugar in a sugar packet.
Brown sugar,
yeah. By the way, is brown sugar was brown sugar cooked? I think it was, actually. What? I think it was cooked, yeah. I think cane sugar, you don't have to cook to extract, but we almost all of our sugar is beet sugar now, right? It's cane sugar? I'm getting confused. It says cane sugar. But you can make sugar out of beets. What? What color? It becomes white just because they're like cracking it down and stuff. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, question for the third possibility in the Gemara, right, that it's euligodium, and you say no, it's fine because it doesn't have gum. Didn't we earlier say that oil is a davar charif?
Oh, whoa. So davar charif would mean...
That this is not with gum, but it's wrong.
Oh, you're saying that how could it be that because it's Gule Akum, it's nice and tan lefgam and it's mutter, you're saying that if it's a davar charif, aha. That's a very good kasha. I have to, that's a very good question. I mean, we said that olives themselves, right, might be a davar charif. We had a raya from the Gemara at the beginning of the Masechta, that the Yonah said lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yiyu mizonosai kashin, right, meruvim kezayis, yiyu mizonosai lefanecha meruvim kezayis, etc. So that sounds, that's a very good kasha. I have to process that. Okay. I will try to get back to you about that kasha. That's a very good kasha. How can we say that oil is giulei akum, it's going to be nosin tan lefgam? You're saying it's clear that we do see elsewhere that oil is a davar charef. That's a big good kasha.
Well, like, fundamentally, why do we say that melicha counts as bishul?
What?
Fundamentally, like, why do we say that melicha?
Why do we say we don't say?
Like Rashi would say.
Rashi says that's the machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan against Bar Kappara.
Right,
but la halacha, I don't know. I mean, the Gemara, right? La halacha, it's not exactly clear because we have that like weird story about.
Right, but if we go with the Halbamina, that at least for
Dagin,
Melicha works.
Dag Maliach is not subject to Bishul Akum because it was already Nechal Kmo Shulchai after stage one, according to that approach.
Right, so then I don't understand why, like, so the,
anything that you add, anything that would change it being edible would make it bitter, even if they're not cooking.
I'm not sure you understand, Dan.
Meaning, like, is that the same logic why we would say, like, if you add something to olive oil, or if you add something to...
Again, the olive oil we're assuming is nechel kamo shuchai, because it's edible ruah with other ingredients. Like dag maliach, you probably are not going to eat on its own. You're probably going to only eat dag maliach, the Gemara says, as a tafel to pass. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I'm trying to apply the same logic that malicha is acting on dagin the same way that all the other things that we would add in to other ingredients would act to shemen.
All other ingredients, when I add it into the shemen, it becomes pogum. But if I add some meat into the oil itself, the oil will taste bad.
Oil.
It's nechal kosher chai because I eat it with salad. With
the
salad.
Salt, okay. I mean, the small fish is only nechal kosher chai because it has salt in it.
Oh, no. So the assumption is that the salt is really just bringing the fish out, right? You're saying that that's the same idea as like sugar? It's like bringing out its own flavor?
That's what I was asking.
I don't think so. I think sugar actually adds flavor to something. As opposed to the salt, it like... I'm not sure if I'm answering your question, though. We have to... Elisheva, you have a comment?
Yeah, just with the double fire thing, is it possible that like... Because it's cooked oil, I don't know that much about oil, but like...
Maybe cooked oil is no longer davar charef,
yeah,
and we have to test
like
it out.
It little, you know?
In other words, like cooked onions are not a davar charef, no?
Well,
cooked onions are very sweet.
Yeah, but you put it into the pot to cook it. So that means not the pot. You go to the pot, you put it in,
no,
it might have
this
something.
When we already have cooked oil, you're using cooked oil.
I'm not sure.
Even with onions, isn't the issue, it's not cooking.
If I cut, no, or cooking it. Davar charef has two applications. If I cook like ginger, right, so that's a davar charef. So then if I'm cooking ginger in a fleishig pan and I stick in a milchik spatula, right, that could trafe everything up, no?
No, but here we're already talking about that it's cooked.
It's the goyer previously cooked in the pot at more than 24 hours ago. Now, I should add one nakuda, just because we're raising good questions, ladies. If you look in the Rashi, Nosin Tan Lefgam, so Rashi writes, it's a machlokes in the last perek, and all things that the goyim cook is Nosin Tan Lefgam, Sharia Nispash, or Isser Etmo, Ukevar Hufag Tamo, V'nifsal Belina. Rashi says it becomes Pasul Belina. Now, Lina means that it stayed overnight. Shitas Rashi throughout Meseches Avodah Zarah is that something comes Nosin Tan Lefgam with Lina Slayla. You don't need 24 hours, according to Rashi, to become Pasul, to become Nifsal. All you need is Lina Slayla. Okay, let's go on. I want to do one more Gemara. Bo Minei Mereb Asi.
It's possible you want to do a Gilgam Marasha.
I'll do the Gilgam Marasha after this next Gemara. Right? Bo Minei Mereb Asi. Hani Ahini Shliki Da'armoy Mai. What's the halacha of cooked dates of the goyim? Sweet dates, of course, is mutter, because sweet dates are nechal chai. The bitter dates for sure is aser. We're talking about the middle level dates. What's the din? My Rebbe said it's aser, and that is levi. So the Gemara says that there are three different types of dates. There are sweet dates, there are bitter dates, and then there are middle-of-the-road dates. Ad kan divrei, just make sure it's still on. There are ad kan divrei ha-gemara. Now, the Goyen Maharsha is bothered. He says, one second. Are we talking about one type of date at different stages of its maturation? Or are we talking about three different species of dates? You see, if it's one type of date... and it's just different species, different times in the date's maturation, so in the Cha'ira we could say that the date for sure is Nechal Kmo Shulchai, because it's the same Cheftza. So the Gilyan Maharsha is inclined that when we speak about the dates, What we mean is that there are three different species of dates. Tysus points out in a number of Mesechtas that there are different species of dates. Some are called Benos Sheva, some are called Benos Shuach, right? There are like different terms for dates. So there are different species, sweet dates, and everything is a different species. And this L'cha'ora is really the question about the potato chips, no? Potato chips, part of the Shaila, where the potato chips are subject to the rules of Bishul Akum, is do I judge Oila al Shulcha Malachim based on the min or the ma'achol? If it's based on the min, so it's a potato, it's a potato, it's a potato. Based on the ma'achol, then I judge it separately. Over here, what the Gilyan Maharsha is saying is that at least for purposes of Nechal Kemoshehu Chai, so we go by the min, and we are saying that they are three different minim. Nechal Kemoshehu Chai cannot go by the ma'achol, no? Because if Nechal Kemoshehu Chai, where the Gilyan Maharsha is like ruling that out, Nechal Kemoshehu Chai has to go by the min. That's the basic point that he gets at. Okay, ladies, I wanted to do one more tosis, but I don't think I'll have a chance to do this bottom tosis of Giulei Akum. Maybe I'll be mean to you and assign this tosis anyway. Assign that you should prepare the Gemara until the two dots and do this bottom tosis on Lamed Chesam and Beis, just because I'm very tough and mean on you. So I will require this on the exam. And you should have a good night, a good Shabbos, a wonderful studying. Try not to cram. I think psychologists say that cramming for tests might help you do okay on the test, but it won't add anything to your long-term memory. You want to actually know stuff, so then you should probably study at a more reasonable pace. And thank you again for a wonderful semester, Chevra. Okay, have a good night.
Sir,
try to get to the two dots and do the bottom toast.